Let's pray. Father, we thank you that every day is new because you have made all things and you have redeemed and you are redeeming all things. Father, today I pray that our heart's desire would be that we would be like you. Help us as we look at our passage today about increasing in faith, that we might follow you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If I missed you last week, I'll start off just by saying Happy New Year. I normally don't do this, but I actually am drawing from a message that I preached about a year and a half ago, or a while ago, maybe it's 2.5 years ago. Yeah, 2.5 years ago, in the Chinese service. And it's actually a message the Lord laid on my heart, and I was thinking that it was going to be for our congregation. And Lord called that sermon up, and I shared it with the Chinese side, but I still believe it's a message that the Lord has for us today. The title is Increasing in Faith, and the guy that's in the picture here, we're going to talk about at the end of the sermon. You might not recognize his face, but you might recognize his name as we mention him later on. So I have a little bit of a confession to make. I am not a runner. At least I'm not these days. Thanks to my joints, I can't jog, and actually I can sprint, but that exercise doesn't last very long. But I've always been fascinated. When I was in college, I tried running a little bit, and I remember one time I went running out with a friend, and the friend wasn't quite as strong of a runner as me. I remember getting all suited up, and I was up in the New England area, and the weather was about this temperature outside. So I put on running tights, actually they're biking tights, and dressed up in a nice warm jacket, and decided to go for this run. And as we ran around the campus, I remember hearing and feeling the person next to me, my friend, running with me. And I remember at times I would push, and I would be about a half step in front of that friend of mine. But then I noticed they were getting a little bit more winded, so then I'd back off. And then I would step up the pace again for a little while. Then I would back off a little bit so they could recover their breath. And after, I don't know how long, probably for about 25 minutes in really cold weather, we decided to say that was enough, and we quit running. And I remember my friend looked at me and didn't really say much, but was really thankful for the time together. It's not like we said a lot of words, but they understood that I was pushing them, but not too much, but still pushing. You know, in our Christian lives, one of the challenges that we have is that we need to push ourselves. And last week we talked about how we push ourselves, not because we're going to earn and make ourselves better, but that by faith we try, saying, God, my effort is my way of showing that I still follow you, I still love you, and that I'm open to receiving your power, your grace in my life, your help. Well, we're an interesting passage because this is 2 Peter. This is going to be the second of Peter's epistles. And church tradition tells us that Mark was very, as a gospel, closely associated with Peter. But at that time, it seems Peter wasn't the best writer. Well, Peter has been the head of the Jerusalem church for a while, ended up moving on to Rome, and very much late in his life, he ends up authoring 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So 2 Peter is really the last letter that he wrote to us. It's the second one that he wrote. that we have recorded for us today. And so it's the story of a man who's at the end of his journey in life. And he wants to encourage the church as it's continued to grow. And for where they are and what they're struggling with, Peter then writes these kinds of things. Well, we're starting close to the beginning, and we don't have time for the full introduction. But we'll say it this way to wind up our introduction today. When we start in the Christian life, one of the most important things that we can do is start off on the right foot. I told you I'm not much of a runner. One time I went to a track, it was a high school track or a college track, I can't remember. And they had these running blocks just like these. And I was a kid, I was in middle school. And the blocks were set for bigger kids, but still I had to get into those blocks. And I realized how much power and how effective those blocks are at giving you a very strong start in your Christian life. And you start off with that first step, and it's so powerful, but you've got to get set in the blocks right, ready to pounce. Well, let's see what our passage is going to tell us, because really the question today is very simple. One single question I want to ask you. Are you running? Are you running? Doesn't matter what 2017 was like. I'm asking now in 2018, are you running? Our passage tells us his divine power has granted to us all these things. And you read through this passage as we've already done before. And an interesting thing starts to arise here. Basically, Peter is saying that God's power has granted us all everything that we need for this Christian life, for life and godliness. How are we receiving these things? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This word excellence here is the same word that's also used as translated as virtue that we're also going to see later on in the passage. So God's giving us this power, everything that we need for this Christian life to become like God. And he's what? Doing this through the knowledge of him, that is Christ and God. Who called us? If you are a Christian, you have been called by God's glory and excellence. Verse 4 tells us what he's given to us in this power, how this power is manifested, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. This is Scripture. And he's saying all the things that Scripture says, one way to look at it is they're all promises. All the things that God wants to give to us, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So in the beginning of the passage, we have this divine power being given to us to empower us in a way that we can't know outside of God. But he's saying here also that we have this divine nature that we're supposed to be partakers of. And this is powerful because now it's not just power to do the stuff that we need day to day. Do you guys make checklists? To-do lists? Do you have task management systems? Yes, those are important. But the reason God wants to do all this is because there's an end goal that we are to be partakers of his divine nature. What does that mean, Pastor Eric? Well, the word divine, just translated God's. God's nature. Well, why would I want to partake in God's nature? You know what's going to happen? This divine nature means this. God wants us to change and grow and become like Him. We're not going to become God, but we're going to become Christ-like. All that God has planned for us. And this plan, this making us into Christ, is also what allows us to escape the sin and the struggles of trying to break away from sin. We say here in the end of the verse here, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. So God's power, it's been gifted to us so that we'll essentially grow to be like Christ. And this is the picture in a very simple nutshell of what he's trying to accomplish. With that, we're going to move to this picture. This is an Olympic runner, and I love this picture. This is probably my favorite picture in the whole slide deck. Not because it's a lady, but because of her incredible, precise form. In running, we know that one of the things you want to do is lay aside every kind of weight. In today's sermon, I wanted to use the analogy of running because I've asked you that question, are you running in your faith? You look at, if you go from her left foot, you can see it's almost a perfect straight line. If you have a protractor, you probably realize that she shot up at probably close, well, probably a little lower than a 45-degree angle. The perfect optimal angle. Even look at her fingertips. They're so pointed so that she can extend them to the full length that she'll get the most amount of momentum, even from her fingertips stretched out. And she's taken every single ounce of her being to propel her forward to start off the strongest possible run that she can have. And I want to ask you this question. It's the same original question. Are you running? 2018. God in Lamentations says what? His mercies are new every morning. Regardless of the failures, regardless of the past, you woke up today. You shook off the sleep and rubbed the wax out of your eyes and the salt, and you came here. And the question is, are you running? This runner got a strong start. The passage goes on to explain a little bit more. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. We have an interesting mystery here. I remember being in seminary, and my professor said, you know, there's this list. These things are linked, but I don't really understand why they are what they are and if they're in this order for a particular reason. But it must be, because it's inspired in Scripture. We're going to take a look at that in just a moment, but what we need to do is fill in these things, and I've listed it out very simply. But what we need to do is this. Talk about this picture a little bit. Every runner has to put on their shoes. This is really the only essential thing, apart from maybe socks. And that shoe needs to fit just right. When I was growing up as a kid, there was a store in the Lansing area out on the east side. There's a store that's no longer in business today, but it's called Playmakers. And they had a whole group of runners that were the salespeople. And those people, this is back in the day when shoe stores were not this sophisticated. But they would come and they would consult with you about your running shoes. And they would look at your feet. They'd look at your old shoes, see how the wear pattern on them. They would try and also, they had a treadmill so they could actually watch you run. And they would try and find the perfect shoe to fit you. And it was neat because at that time, shoes were not that big of a deal. You either got fancy shoes or you got sneakers. And if they're cheap shoes or they're expensive shoes. And it's a time when sneakers started becoming more and more expensive. You guys remember Air Jordans when they first came out? And kids were killing each other for Air Jordans? Some of you guys don't know that. Now you can get all these limited edition remakes. And by the way, they're not that limited edition because they just keep making more runs of them. Now this is the super limited edition. And this is the ultra cool limited edition. But running shoes were just starting to take off. And it's so important to get the right foot, the right shoe, and all these things, because what is running? It's just putting one foot in front of the other faster and faster, right? And this repetitive motion in the right shoe, a very simple thing. Kids learn to walk. Babies, they toddle. But the progression is what? To run. To run. So that's why I have this picture here. And in that way, these things in this list, I've just simplified them this way. This is the steps that Peter decides to lay out for us, inspired in Scripture. Faith is pretty simple. Faith is our Christian belief of what we have chosen to follow God. And he's basically saying, add to all the way down this list. And so when we have the heart of our Christian faith, you start with that. That's the first step. And what do you do beyond that? He says you add virtue. As you remember, because you're listening, early in the message I mentioned the word excellence. Excellence is one of those words that you can use interchangeably with the word virtue. Another common word that actually is a valid alternative translation for the word maybe also helps to understand, very similar to the word virtue, is the word character or character traits. And he's saying, take this belief that you have and add on faith, this thing called virtue. Virtue, excellence, character. Well, onto your virtue, you're also supposed to add knowledge. And the most immediate context for this knowledge is knowledge of Christ and knowledge of Scripture. But anything and everything that will help you know Christ, even secular knowledge helps because it's all God's creation. So don't just study one subject. Don't just study one way when you come to the Bible. Study many different ways so that you can get more and more and more out of Scripture. There's this American idiom, there's more than one way to skin the cat, right? And there's more than one way to study the Bible. We know that. But are you consciously taking that effort to do that? To add to knowledge that self-control. I think this is pretty self-explanatory, right? All we have to think about is a time we got really, really angry and we lost control. Like, yes, I need more self-control. Or maybe it's that extra food that you're eating and you're like, didn't have the self-control and it shows up. Yeah. Add that self-control. Then he talks about steadfastness. And there's two images here that are very powerful. One is this picture of like a tower or a military unit that is holding their position and they're not compromising or giving up an inch or moving and very steady and strong like a tower. But in running, we also know steadfastness is not quitting. Just keep on going. I have the utmost respect for people that run marathons because I know my body won't be able to do it, at least at this time. But I shared with you that I bike a lot, right? And I remember biking a century for the first time, which is their way of saying 100 miles in one day. And by the way, I think a century is way easier than a marathon. But I remember passing the 50-mile mark, and I thought to myself, oh my Lord, I've got 50 more miles to go, and I'm already pretty tired. And then I started hitting about 66 miles, about two-thirds in, and I realized, okay, two-thirds done, one-third to go. And then when I hit about 75 miles, things started changing, like, I could feel it. I'm getting closer. And then that final 10 miles, things started flying. The adrenaline started pumping again. I'd been eating properly, hydrating properly. And while I wasn't going fast, I felt stronger and excited. So I'm like, you know what? I've biked 10 miles. I biked 9 of those 10 miles. What's one more? And in that steadfastness, you realize not quitting, not quitting, not quitting, not quitting, not quitting. But then sometimes you get closer and you realize, I'm going to make it. I got to keep going. It's getting better. And as we grow in our Christian life, steadfastness increases. You know, the hardest step is always the first one, isn't it? Isn't there a Chinese proverb, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step? Right? Steadfastness. And then this picture of godliness, very simply, God-likeness, that we are supposed to resemble God in His character. That's a tough one, because we all fall quite short of that. Brotherly affection and love. So with this list, what we need to do is tie this together. And this is the neat part. You see, you start with your Christian faith, the fact that you are a Christian, that you have chosen to follow God. But now you need to start developing who you are as a Christian more fully with virtue and your character and your substance, so that the things that you do, the things that you say, as you're working on them by faith, it's all founded on faith, and you're adding on to that. What are you doing when you add? When we eat a lot, we add, right? But if we add virtue, what are we doing? We're adding to who we are, our character. And God wants to build that up. And as you're developing your virtue and you're growing in who you are from your faith, you're adding your knowledge. You're understanding all these different things. What I love hearing is whether it's cyclists or runners or anybody that's in any athletic type of sport is when they talk about all the tiny little things that they need to do. The other day I got to watch a little bit of the Atlanta Falcons and I was so sad. Not the other day. It was yesterday. I didn't see the whole game, but saw the part that mattered the most, the ending. But every time I watch football, I'm amazed. Every little inch, or not even an inch, half an inch, quarter of an inch makes a difference. The way they balance themselves, how high and low they are, how wide apart their feet are, the angle of their feet. And the linemen, when they line up, They want to accomplish a certain thing when they get to that line. And so everything is just perfect, optimized for their body so that they can make the most impact for the whole team. All this stuff is knowledge, right? And then what happens in football? Penalties, right? You need self-control. It doesn't matter if you have the best team in the world, but you can't ever not get a penalty. We see this. So God wants us to increase our knowledge, our skill, our ability to understand and live this Christian life with even more detail. So our faith, our belief develops this character of who we are, and it grows, and then we gain some more knowledge and understanding so that we know which directions and how to do what, when to do what as Christians, and we keep going and we add on self-control. It doesn't matter if you're a boxer and you close your eyes and you start punching the air. I remember when I was in third grade, I got into a fight on the playground. I closed my eyes when I was punching. I was so scared. And it was just reflex, and I closed my eyes. You know, another thing that's really fascinating, whether it's singing, whether it's so many different sports and activities and things that we do, what's important is breathing. Most basic thing, breathing. In singing, they teach you need to, and in athletics too, you got to use your diaphragm, right? It's that weird mushroom-shaped dome muscle that only flexes in this direction. And you flex that, and you flex that. And you have to learn to control your breath. Self-control. And God doesn't want us in our Christian lives going all over the place, doing all these different things, punching when we're not supposed to punch, running when we're supposed to be walking or sitting. He wants control. Discipline. So this control will help to take all those things of who we are, the character we've added, which is now added to our ability to do things, and then the knowledge that gives us the skill to do those things. And self-control gives us what? The focus. Aren't you glad surgeons don't use chainsaws? Can you imagine that? Come on over. Aren't you glad the anesthesiologist uses the finest and sharpest needle possible? Right? Not the big fat tube and like you drain the turkey, right? The baster and like, oh, right? Focus, the point. And a soldier wants the sharpest, strongest, most pointed weapon possible. And God wants us to have self-control. Focus like a laser. And then we, of course, have steadfastness. It doesn't matter if you got the sharpest knife in the world, but you quit. And this non-quittingness, we now begin to add on godliness. That we're now taking on more and more likeness, resemblance. That people look at you and say, you know, you look different. And then it starts to progress to, you know what? I see so many traits in you. That tells me that you really are a Christian. Godliness. To exemplify the characteristics and traits of God Himself that are purely God, not just good and nice like the world does, but things like Christ, like sacrifice, true sacrifice, generosity that just oozes out anonymously. We're talking about this in the Sunday school class. One of the ways that we can make sure that we truly understand how to give and not be selfish is to do the gut check of giving gifts anonymously. I would even challenge, perhaps sometimes God wants you to put money in that offering plate, cash. So there's no strings attached, not even the tax write-off. Doesn't have to be all the time. That might be bad stewardship. Or that you take an envelope and you put money in it and write somebody's name on it and put it somewhere where they'll find it but won't know who it came from. Godliness. And if we want to learn how to love our brothers, how can we truly love our brothers with brotherly affection, other Christians, if we don't have this godliness? You know, God has given us this wonderful, my senior pastor group, laboratory. He gave us this wonderful incubator, proving ground, testing ground, engineering facility, whatever you want to call it. It's called church, where a bunch of sinners saved by grace can get down and dirty learning how to love each other. There's no perfect church. Seniors, college students, people headed there, don't ever believe that myth. There's a perfect church. There's better churches. There's a church that God wants you to be at, but there's no perfect church. Brotherly affection. But you know, it's not just one giant kumbaya party. I love kumbaya. Do you guys know kumbaya? You guys know kumbaya, right? Kumbaya? Yeah. Yeah. American phrase basically saying that we all get together, hold hands, and be happy and be together. And it's a sign of great unity and good feelings towards each other. And sometimes it's used mockingly. But for brotherly love, God doesn't want it just to stop there. Because guess what is at the end? Love. Love. Love doesn't look at people and say, I'm not going to love you. That's not loving, is it? You can't say, ah, I'm going to forgive you 7 times. I'm generous. Right, Peter? And who would know love? Do you realize it wasn't just Judas that was the backstabber? It was Peter too. But what a contrast. Peter understood God's love. So when it came time to be crucified, he said, you know what, I love God so much. I love my Lord Jesus so much. I don't even want to be crucified the right side up. I'm not worthy. I love you so much, Lord. And so when he was crucified, tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down. I love my Lord that much. And I love God's people, and I serve them and shed my blood and my life too, just like Christ. You know, the church is going to grow just fine if we understand that Peter has these steps and how he wants us to grow. And we're running out of time, but I want us to understand this list because this is really the core and the heart of the message. We go on, and a lot of it is just the running part. 1 foot, another foot, left, right, left, right. That's where all the hard work is. But the question is, what is it? Are you running? Are you running? Now, here's the really good stuff, because you want to start off right and you got this whole middle of the race, but now you got the stuff at the end. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, This is so powerful. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these things will help you get to know Jesus more and more and more, and it will never fail. It goes on, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In other words, you forgot your faith. You checked out. And now you got to start back over in the first step of faith. We need to get sturdier and steadier as we run. Life gets more difficult. Would you all say that? Life gets more difficult as you get older? Yeah. In some ways it gets easier. But bigger things come, bigger blessings from bigger challenges. And so he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Isn't that stunning? It's not that you won't ever fail. It's the fact that you will be so steady in so many ways and so many things that you keep growing and you're adding on. Guess what? You're going to keep on running. And the better you run, guess what? The more you run. And the more you run, the better you run. And he's saying there's this process. If you go through these things, you will never fall. Because at the end, what happens? In this way there, you will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you never quit, and you keep on getting better and stronger, what happens? We'll reach the end. We'll reach the end. We'll reach the end. So our question is very simple today. Are you running? Are you running? My last slide. If you happen to be a fan of older movies, back in the 80s, a movie came out that was very popular, won a bunch of awards for music and also for screenplay. It was a story of a Scotsman. In fact, his nickname was called the Flying Scotsman. And his name was Eric Liddell, L-I-D-D-E-L. I think it can also be pronounced Eric Liddell. But Eric Liddell was a strong Christian. In fact, he became a preacher, and he sensed God's calling on his life. And if you ever have a chance, watch the movie Chariots of Fire. Maybe you remember seeing that. That's who this is. There's one point in the movie where his wife is just upset with him. Running, running, running all the time. Why do you run so much? And he said, you know what? When I run, I feel God's pleasure. Eric Liddell understood not only physical running, but also spiritual running, that he was made to run. He was fast. He ended up winning Olympic gold medals, ended up running in a number of different competitions. But you know what's very fascinating? With all of his running ability, his physical running wasn't the thing that he cherished the most. It was his spiritual running. He has a lot of relevance to us in our congregation because he actually became a missionary to China. And he came back once or twice, but in the end, he went back and stayed for good, and he died there. And in his last competitive foot race, physical foot race, he so loved running, but he so loved the Lord. He went on the track, won the race, but didn't stop for that prize. He kept on running and running and running, and he left the stadium and ran all the way to the docks and made it just in time to get on the boat to go to China. And after that, he never ran another race in his life. He's even written some books about the Christian life. And you can see how strong his mind was to run for Christ. Eric Liddell, he was a runner. So I want to ask you today that final question. Are you running? As the praise team comes, we need to remember that Christ ran this race before us. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. And the Spirit of Christ goes with us. We're going to sing the song Humble King again. And it talks about the humility of God to come and run before us, with us, along the way. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, as we stand to worship you, I pray that you would help us decide to keep growing in maturity, to press on, to run for you this race. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.